You may proceed. Can we turn up the volume on that? Okay, then we've turned up the volume as high as we can, but we still can't hear you, so you'll have to speak as loud as you can. But is there any real reason to doubt that it will? But the judge didn't think so. The judge didn't read the Bureau of Prisons statement the way you did. And he was confident that if your client needs a heart transplant, he'll get one from the, you know, from the government. So what the basis do we have for doubting that the judge, you know, knew he could grant a downward departure, but decided it wasn't necessary because the Bureau of Prisons would take care of the problem? No, he didn't. The question is whether he knew that he had the authority to downward depart, and he exercised his discretion not to do so. And isn't that what he did? You know, he said he'd personally call up the director of the hospital and so on.
Well, has the Bureau of Prisons thought under no circumstances would it allow Mr. McDowell a heart transplant? And also, has a suitable donor been identified, or has he been evaluated to determine whether or not he's a viable candidate for a heart transplant? I realize that's three questions in one, but it's kind of hard when you're not here to get you to stop.
Thank you.
Well, why don't you see what happens? Why? How old is your client? Well, why isn't it premature to decide whether he can? I mean, so he's in prison now, presumably. Well, this is something new, right? We can't evaluate documents that you've just obtained. They're not part of the record, are they? Are they part of the record?
Is he in a prison medical facility? It is. Springfield's a medical facility. Well, isn't the bottom line issue is whether or not the judge knew he had discretion? Not.
Well, what was the incorrect legal standard? I don't know. What was the incorrect legal standard? What does that have to do with a legal standard? What do you mean it's inappropriate? What is the legal standard that he violated? But that's what you wanted. You wanted home confinement, didn't you? You wanted home confinement, didn't you? But that has nothing to do with the legal standard. You're complaining that he misapplied his... that the judge misapplied his discretion, he weighed facts incorrectly or made logical or factual errors, not that he took the that he articulated and applied an incorrect legal standard. But I thought you wanted home confinement. Thank you. Okay, well, thank you. Your time has expired, Mr. Gavras. Ms. Fernandez-Harvest?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Maribel Fernandez-Harvath on behalf of the United States. We are here today because Mr. Dowell was sentenced to 360 months of imprisonment for two counts of attempted possession of a controlled substance with intent to distribute. Counsel has raised in his opening argument that the court improperly denied his motion for a downward departure based on the defendant's health. Now, while the defense counsel would have liked the district court to depart to home confinement, that was an impossibility because there was a minimum mandatory sentence of 10 years. Our argument, of course, is first that this court lacks jurisdiction to even review the district court's denial because the district court was aware of its discretion to depart and simply refused to do so. In addition, if this court were to consider this argument, the defendant is not entitled to a departure because the only evidence presented at the sentencing was this printout from 1998 that the Bureau of Prisons generally does not provide organ transplants, but in fact does provide exceptions. Now, I am not aware of any information that counsel has just received from the Federal Medical Center. I do know that the defendant currently is in the Federal Medical Center. But there was no evidence presented at the sentencing that this defendant was in fact a viable candidate for an organ transplant and that the Bureau of Prisons was not.
Well, is there anything to prevent in the future an analysis of whether or not he's a viable candidate, in other words, an examination by a doctor to determine if he's a viable candidate and then if he has the funds to get the heart transplant, that could be considered by the Bureau of Prisons in the future?
Yes, and the defendant could have presented the testimony of a doctor at sentencing to say, in fact, that this defendant was a viable candidate. He had taken care of the defendant, or it was his patient, and he could say that he was a viable candidate, and then they can explore the option of whether the Bureau of Prisons would provide that. However, that was not provided at the sentencing court. It was merely a printout which said this is a general policy, which also included an exception, and a letter from a doctor saying that the defendant could not receive the care that he needed in a typical incarceration setting. But since the defendant's sentencing, the defendant has been at the Federal Medical Center. And with respect to the defendant's cruel and unusual punishment argument, there has been no evidence presented.
So then, to answer my question, they could submit additional evidence that he's a viable candidate and show that they could provide the funds because the Bureau of Prisons is not going to pay for a heart transplant.
I'm not sure if it, Your Honor.
I would assume the Bureau of Prisons wouldn't have money to pay for a heart transplant.
I'm not sure of that, Your Honor. A check of the website since our brief was filed shows that the policy has changed. And in that website, which I've included in a footnote of our brief, it did indicate that it would pay for it.
Well, that bottom line is the judge said, I think you'd be better off for your own health if you were in the prison than if you're out on your own. Isn't that what he said?
That's correct. In other words, the court.
And he exercised his discretion and refused to downward depart, thinking the defendant would be better off in prison.
That's correct. And in terms of the cruel and unusual punishment, it's the government's position that the sentence of imprisonment doesn't violate his Eighth Amendment rights. He's failed to state a claim, and he's failed to show that the prison officials have been deliberately indifferent to his needs. And based on that, if there are no more questions, may I conclude?
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Fernandez-Harvin. So, Mr. Gavras, your time expired, but if you have anything further, you can have a minute. Does he have money, Dal? So he doesn't have money. So how would he get the operation for Mayo Clinic? Okay, well, thank you very much, and thank you for accepting the appointment. And the court will stand in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.